Time and Eternity. A Biblical Study, Chapter 4, by G.T. Stevenson. Olam, Olamim. The form of these Hebrew words suggests a normal noun and its plural. Unless there are convincing arguments to prove otherwise, we should so regard them. However, during the last century much discussion has centered around the question of whether the plural when used in the OT represents a concept of eternity, or is in fact indicative of a plurality of the entity covered by the singular. A related question might be put thus. If it can be shown that Olam express the concept of an age, some identifiable period of time, should we then conclude that Olamim represented a concept of a number of such periods, or may it have been used in a loose way as meaning an extended time, as when we say, I've been waiting here for ages? In the latter case, Olamim would be a plural of grammatical form, but scarcely of concepts. This matter will be discussed later when the occurrences of Olam and the plural are listed synoptically and some conclusions suggested. For the present, the questions to be kept in mind are these. A. If the assumption that the Hebrew had some concept of endlessness as to both past and future was not injected into the Olamim passages, would these bear a rational interpretation consistent with the contexts in which this word occurs and with the Bible in general? In other words, should we use forever, everlasting, or eternal to translate Olamim? B. Are there better alternatives? In I Kings 8:13, Solomon is quoted as saying regarding the temple, I have built thee a house to dwell in Olamim. It appears most unlikely that Solomon had in mind a timeless eternity or eternity at all, but rather long periods or extension of time stretching into obscurity. We can scarcely think that he or his editor thought his edifice of wood and stone would last forever. Besides, it could be only a future duration anyway, and so but a portion of eternity. Actually, the temple stood about 500 years. And thus it belonged to a limited time. 2 Chron. 6, 2 repeats IKI.8:13. Psalm 61, 4 As I shall dwell in thy tabernacle, Olamim. If we could be sure that the Hebrews had expectation of resurrection life in some state figuratively represented by the tabernacle, we would have some grounds for regarding this statement as approximating to endless future bliss in heaven. If we take this verse literally, we still find difficulty unless we regard Olamim as having connotations similar to those Olam frequently possesses, that is constantly till the end of one's life. The passage may well be understood as a pious aspiration of longing to practice the presence of God all one's days. At any rate, that dwelling began in this life and so cannot be eternal. In Psalm 77, 5 The psalmist with poetic hyperbole expresses his state of depression. He looks back over past history, presumably Israel's, seeking comfort. I have considered the days of old, years of ancient times, Olamim. One seriously doubts whether anyone should hold that Olamim here could refer to eternity, everlasting, or even perpetuity. In all probability, single quote the days of old and years of ancient times are meant to cover the same periods of past history, with Olamim signifying the plural periods. We express the same thought, O God, our help in ages past. The IV ancient times appears a quite satisfactory translation. In Psalm 77, 7 the writer continues his lament, Will the Lord cast off Olamim? Avenu ampersandat v forever, the Hebrew may be translated literally. For ages will my Lord reject, and not again grant favor any more. Rotherham, hath his loving kindness come to a perpetual end? If one reads the poetic couplets of verses 7, 8 and 9, in any translation, the impression gained is that the psalmist is asking, hath God withdrawn his grace from us altogether? Shall we see it no more at all? Cf. Ex. 1:4-13. Since the plea refers to the future, everlasting might be acceptable, but eternity is ruled out since in the past God's favor had been enjoyed. It seems very far-fetched to claim that the writer had any thought of eternity in mind any more than when we say, single quote, he doesn't love me anymore. PSA.145, 13 states, the kingdom is kingdom of all Elamim, and thy dominion over all, generation and generation, lit. IV over all generations. Rather in generation after generation. The kingdom is a kingdom of all ages or even periods of time, fits well with all generations. It is possible to construe this into meaning that the rule of Yahweh is coexistent with the being of the eternal, but all generations suggests that the thought of the writer was that God rules in the affairs of men, Daniel 4:25, and there seems to be no reason to think the psalmist had any concept beyond time in mind. The literal ages appears to be quite satisfactory. It seems obvious that these two probably liturgic expressions in this poetic couplet cover the same duration of time. Evidence must be very scarce, if it exists at all, to show that OT authors, even if exilic, had any expectation of an everlasting future, whether in time or timeless, in which generations of humans would go on reproducing their kind ad infinitum. When the Sadducees, Map 22:23, Luke 20:27, posed the question of the much-married woman's relationship with her seven husbands in resurrection life, our Lord is recorded as answering, Edua, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God, for in resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage. The phrase not knowing the scriptures of course must refer to the OT, and the force of the reply must be, single quote, the scriptures will teach you that in the future life there are no generations at all. Hence the idea that all generations and all ages refer to duration beyond the period of human life on earth appears untenable. Isaiah 26, 4b has, in the Lord Jehovah is an everlasting rock. IV Heb. A rock, Elamim. The IV note reads a rock of ages and so also Rotherham. The Avenue text has single quote the rock of ages, a concept enshrined in the time-honored hymn. The thought appears to be that Yahweh is a safe refuge in any time of need. Isa.45, 17 reads, Israel shall be saved by the Lord Elamim. Ye shall not be ashamed nor confounded. The difficulty of the Hebrew tenseless verbs is apparent here. The Avenue and RV, 1884, give Israel shall be saved. The RSV and Rotherham, hath been saved, delivered, which, in view of Israel's history from Isaiah's time until now, and her present, 1977, condition, make one wonder what the latter translators took the passage to mean. The use of the future tense avoids the clash with the facts of Israel's history. There seems to be no sensible alternative to Israel shall be saved by the Lord, Elamim. But then, of course, Elamim can scarcely be the plural of extension meaning eternal, for obviously this eternity has not even begun yet. Apart from holding that the biblical writer was mistaken in his expectations, there are but two alternatives. Either A, the time of Israel's deliverance has not yet begun, or, B, there is a big interim gap of several millenniums in the period. Neither A nor B will accord with the concept of eternal. Salvation of ages may better be thought of as deliverance for which Israel has waited long time. This interpretation avoids the dilemma, and shows the verse to be in harmony with Israel's history and the prophet's expectations. The parallel, ye shall not be confounded, single quote Adiodomerad is universally rendered future in English. The Avenue and IV world without end cannot be regarded as translation at all. Jerome's Eternum plus Ultra may be considered feasible only if we accept the probability that in his day, Eternum did not mean endlessness, otherwise to speak of a beyond is a contradiction in terms which one is not prepared to ascribe to a scholar of Jerome's skill and devotion. It is here suggested that the meaning is unto the ages of the future or four ages of times to come, a concept consonant with intertestamental writings and the Qumran scrolls. That the faithful in Israel even today, still retain this hope that the deliverance awaited so long, for ages, Elamim, will someday come and will extend beyond the foreseeable future periods, indefinitely or to obscurity, shows that their understanding corresponds with the view set out above. The introduction of the terms eternal, everlasting or forever involves incongruities at variance with known facts. Isaiah 5:1-9 Awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake as in the days of old, the generations of ancient times, Elamim. For this latter phrase, the avenue has in generations of old. IV, single quote of ancient times. RSV, single quote of long ago. Rotherham single quote of bygone ages. Any if these makes good sense. Obviously, Elamim, coupled with generations and days of old, must be limited to humanity's history. The apposition of the two phrases confirms the reasoning of the discussion above. Ecclesiastes 1:10. Is there a thing whereof men say, see, this is new? It hath been already in the ages which were before us, Elamim, IV and RSV. The avenue has single quota of old time. More literally the verse would run, already hath it been for ages. It is something which was before us, and so Rotherham renders it. The use of old time or times, ages before us or for ages past would seem to reproduce both the wording and the thought of the text. Daniel 9:24, 70 weeks have been divided, avenue determined, IV decreed, Rotherham divided, concerning thy people and concerning thy holy city, A, to put an end to the transgression, B, and fill up the measure of sin, C, and put a propitiatory cover over iniquity, and D, bring in the righteousness of ages, Elamim, E, and fix a seal to vision and prophecy, F, and anoint the Holy of Holies, or Most Holy. We have here first a definite time period, 70 weeks, probably weeks of years. Then follow 6 items indicating the objectives to be accomplished in the divided period. The first 3, A, B, and C, above, are preparatory, negative prerequisites for the 3 long-awaited positives, D, E, and F, to emerge. Of these latter, D mentions Elamim. Perhaps one way to think of this righteousness may be as an attribute of the deity and hence as eternal, but the context in which the passage is to be understood must be that of the author who is thinking of the people and the holy city. If that interpretation is right, then righteousness, Elamim, may well mean a righteousness that rectifies the wrongs of ages and last for ages. There is considerable evidence, as we shall later see, to indicate that the time of writing of the Book of Daniel, the concept of an age and single quote the age had evolved. Righteousness of ages is commended as a satisfactory translation. It can now be claimed, with considerable assurance, that the above examination of all the Elamim passages indicates that the questions posed earlier should be answered thus. All the texts containing Elamim can be logically translated and interpreted without any reference to eternity at all. B. The introduction of concepts of endless time or timelessness leads to incongruities in almost every case. C. The view that Elamim is a normal plural signifying extensive periods of time, often obscure as to dating either of inauguration, or ending, or both, provides meaningful renderings consistently throughout, and consonant with the context, in every case. Return to main index page